Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers Podcast, presented by the Believe Podcast Network. Today, I'm joined by John Weblegazzo, and we have a special guest on the show.
Who's the special guest?
Dang, you got
what? Who's that? Whoa! Who was that?
Long time, guys. Long time.
Long time. It's been a long time, and we're glad to welcome back Joseph Constantino.
Yeah, I've been MIA for a little bit since last year, I think. I haven't been part of any podcast this year.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. We're glad to finally have you back. But yeah. The agenda. You ready?
Let's do it.
Since the Suns and the Bucks are playing, we're going to talk about them a little bit. Ask you guys who you guys are going to root for, or who you are rooting for. We'll talk a little bit about Kyle Kuzma as well. Some comments he made about his aspirations to be an all-star. Talk about his role, our expectations for him, whether he's going to be a Laker next year, all that jazz. And then lastly, we're going to talk about Andre Drummond. He said some stuff this week, backtracked on it today. So we'll talk about that. But let's go ahead and start off with Bucks and Suns. Who are you guys rooting for this year?
I am going with the Suns this year. Part of it is wanting some sort of closure, maybe even justification, some type of, like a vindication or a defense or an excuse, right, for why the Lakers had such an early exit. But the bigger part of it for me is CP3. Feels like and vibes like when Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd knocked out our back-to-back 2011 Lakers with Kobe and Powell. That group with Sean Marion, Jason Terry, who else? Caron Butler, J.J. Barea, Peja Stojakovic, was inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
They beat that newly formed Miami Heat team led by LeBron and D. Wade. It's the same feels I got for J. Kidd finally getting to that spot and ultimately winning his championship. But CP3 has been playing out of his mind, and I just want to see the same for him.
I agree. I think this season it's turned a lot of if you weren't already a CP3 fan, you better be now. And plus, I've been seeing a lot of memes talking about how the Suns are coming from, like, first off, they did really, really well in the bubble. Mm-hmm. They were like the only undefeated team there.
Yeah.
But before that, they were like the worst record in the NBA.
Poverty.
Right? Poverty. Yeah. They were way low. So just seeing the Cinderella story just progress is amazing to me. So I think I don't see them as an underdog, really. I don't see either one of these teams as an underdog. I think for them, this is just both something to really, it's been a while since they've both been there. The last time I really saw the Suns in this shape or form was Stoudemire and Nash, right?
Yeah.
Way back in the day. So I love seeing it. I love seeing the progress. And I'm a big Booker fan. I know Yoa hates the comparison to Kobe. One's going to be like any other Kobe. But I love the fire that I see from this kid, man. It's amazing the track that he's on and the progress he's been making.
Yeah, I do too. I do like Booker. I just don't like the comparison to Kobe. Just probably it's probably the same thing with Bulls fans when we bring up Kobe or LeBron, or when people bring up LeBron. So offended. But unlike you guys, I'm rooting for the Bucks, but I don't think they're gonna win. You're right, Joseph. I think that the Suns, I don't think they're the underdog in this. I think it's the Bucks. I feel like the Bucks in game one, I know game two is happening right now. The Bucks exhausted a lot of their adjustment or their counters. They were like in plan B or C already, and the Suns remained in plan A, and they, you know, and they won the game very, very handedly. But like to go with what I was saying, like I'm rooting for the Bucks, but I do know, even though I know the Suns are probably going to win. I say that because also, why I'm rooting for the Bucks is because I went to law school in Milwaukee. And so I spent 3 years there, got to know the people, went to a few Bucks games, even met their president there, the Bucks president at one point. So it was a time also when Jabari Parker was there, and Giannis was still up and coming. He was still trying to establish himself as an NBA player. Jabari Parker was the big deal. And I used to see him around at church, actually. He used to go to my church, to my congregation, our ward, right, if you're LDS. And I used to see him in the off season play Wednesday nights, play basketball. I have some ties to Milwaukee, yeah, more so than I do over there in Phoenix. So that's why I'm rooting for them. The Suns are going to win.
Here's what's going to happen, just because you said that, and knock on wood, this doesn't happen. Injuries are going to play a role. Yoa, watch. Something's going to happen to CP3 or Booker. And honestly, that's probably the only way the Bucks are going to pull something out, right? There's some sort of injury that kicks in.
Catastrophe.
There's been a bug going around. So I'm just glad Giannis did get to play game one. To your point, though, he dropped 20. Middleton almost dropped 30. Like, some of them had big games. Lopez almost had 20. That game one was a pretty good game for them. And Suns still kind of carried over, right?
Right.
Still took home the W.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
There's one thing, though, Yo, that I disagree with what you said, and that's the adjustment aspect of it. I don't think they're out of adjustments.
No, they're not. They're not. They've just exhausted more.
Okay. Yeah, they pulled out more out of the bag, but I don't think they're out of adjustments. I think this is one of those series that are going to be back and forth, because they are really good coaches.
Right.
And they have a lot in the bag.
That's true. That you can't count the Bucks out. You're right. But I do see... I do see this going to seven games, but the Suns winning it. Anyway, enough talk.
I don't disagree.
Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about Lakers basketball. Let's go do a quick hard pivot And every time I say pivot, I always think about the Ross and Friends pivot. But let's talk about Kyle Kuzma, because he told Bleacher Report that he believes he's capable of averaging 25 points per game and reaching all-star status. He says, quote, "I definitely can. I definitely believe that, too. I don't care what nobody thinks or says. I know myself and I know my ability. It's hard to be consistent in an inconsistent role." So I think that was like the big quote, right? It's hard to be consistent in an inconsistent role. He also said this, that the biggest thing is just I want to play within a consistent role. If I have that ability, I'll be able to showcase what I can really do. There were parts of this year and anywhere else in my career where I'm in a consistent space. I'm out there handling the ball, making teammates better, scoring, shooting, defending, rebounding. I think if I'm in that space, I'll be good. So with that said, guys, let's talk about Kuzma, what you think about his comments, what you see his role today, what, you know, whether or not we need to adjust our expectations to him, whether you see him being a Laker next year also. So, I mean, that's a lot we can talk about, but let's go ahead and talk about that.
So I'll start with the last point you made. If he's going to be a Laker next year, in my mind, I don't think so. My confidence in him has kind of diminished as the seasons have been going, and especially this season. I feel like he has potential. That's I feel like that's the always the word that's attached to him. There's so much potential there. Yeah. And it's sad to see it not happen. And look, I love the talk. I love the confidence in his language. And yeah, we've seen him shoot, we've seen him defend, we've seen him make those things happen. But I think bottom line is that it's just it doesn't translate, right? When we're seeing this season, he averaged 13 points a game, and he's saying he feels like he can average 25 points a game. I gotta see the progress. If you're telling me this season you've had one of your worst season compared to your rookie season or your early seasons, I'm gonna have a hard time accepting that. Like I said, there's potential. Yes, you can. You've dropped 25 in the game before multiple times, right? You've dropped 20 plus. That's happened. There's the potential word that's always attached to Kuzma, and there's always the inconsistency. I actually really appreciate what he said with, you know, he has had an inconsistent role. I see that. Maybe it takes for him to be a consistent starter to feel more confident and to be more consistent with scoring. Mainly it's the scoring that I really have a problem with, a little bit on the defensive end, but it's really just converting that I have the biggest problem with him. So yeah, those are kind of my thoughts. So to kind of summarize that, I think he's out of the Lakers. He's most likely going to be traded. I just don't believe in what he's saying.
Wow. Okay. I agree with Kuz. I agree with Kuz here. I don't see anything in what he said that's false, actually. This is something we've talked about on the show. His role that he was given is not to be a superstar on this Lakers team. He's not billeted for that here, and it's not like they're calling up plays for him or offensively even scheming to get him to average 25 points, right? Those shots come from elsewhere and are designated elsewhere. And I think he's absolutely right, and I've talked about it here before, that coaches on the Lakers have talked about it before. And, you know, Joseph, you even said it, right? Kuz has had a very fluid role since AD got to LA. And that's by design by the coaching staff. He's asked to do different things day in and day out. And I honestly believe he would be averaging 20 plus points on our team and other teams if his star wasn't eclipsed by our two superstars. If the coaches let Kuz cook or offensively scheme for him or set aside plays for him, he's going to score 20 points. If they design those five outs that we love to run, or those early posts that we love to run, and design it for Kuz on the block, or design it for Kuz coming off of a screen, slashing, he's going to score 20-plus points a game. But that's not the role he's given. That's not the scheme we run for him.
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you, actually. I agree that... and I agree with Kuz. He's in this inconsistent role, like you said, Jawa, but he's in this fluid role. But I think with his aspirations of being an all-star and averaging 25 points per game, or his, you know, I think that I don't think he can do it here with the Lakers.
No, yeah, you're right. He's not going to be able to do that here.
Right, right. And for that reason, I agree with Joseph that I think that he's going to get packaged up and sent to somewhere, right? And we'll trade him for maybe someone like DeMar DeRozan or something in a sign-in trade deal, or Kyle Lowry. More to come. Right, more to come. But, like, I it'll be interesting to see what happens with Kuz. I'm actually... you know, sort of proud of what he's sort of accomplished, right? He's a champion, and he played within a winning mentality, all thanks to Jared Dudley, right? It helping him shaping him with that sort of mentality to step back a little bit and not be that star and play a lesser role with the Lakers squad. But, you know, I do think he is going to be moving forward. But I guess we'll have to wait and see, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I look forward to him dropping 25 in a season. I look forward to seeing that, because when I have a hard time not comparing him to people like Lonzo or Tatum, right? Or anybody that's kind of around the same age, or that's I think for me, I definitely can see it in a different team. Yeah, that's the hard part, is that, like, I wish we could see it in the Lakers.
It's just...
Right? But it's just the role is just such... I don't know. I think probably the fluid is probably the best word to describe it. And I wish he could be a little bit more consistent in a fluid role. But that's a lot to ask, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and take our first break here. I know we talked a lot then, but let's go ahead and take that break. When we come back, we'll talk about Andre Drummond and his comments. So stay tuned, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, guys. This is McKay with the Hashtag Laker Podcast. I wanted to talk to you about Jersey Bird, your number one custom jersey shop. They've got high quality, low priced jerseys for you, your family, and friends. The folks at Jersey Bird are really dedicated to bringing you the very best jerseys, with a focus on dependability, durability, and customer satisfaction. They've even got custom Kobe and LeBron high school jerseys for you to enjoy. So don't show up to your buddy's watch party looking like a bum. Hop on jerseybirdofficial.com, take a look at their selection, and use promo code LAKERS to get 10% off your order. Again, that's promo code LAKERS to get 10% off your order at jerseybirdofficial.com.
Welcome back to the Hashtag Lakers Podcast. I'm here with Joseph Constantino and my brother John Webb. If you didn't know, Andre Drummond appeared to take a shot at Coach Frank Vogel. And then he later hopped on Twitter and dubbed himself Kareem Abdul Drummond. right after that... O'Shea Jack, what's his name, man? O'Shea Jack. He quote retweets sorry, that you better do it then. Flip the narrative. Lakers fans not playing around, dog. And then Drummond retweets that, responds to that, and says, I got you, bro. You know, praying, emoji, laughing, right? So later today, actually, he said that now he's just playing around. He was talking to Rachel Nichols, who I don't want to get into all that happened to her this week. That he was just playing around. And he was just trying to get everyone's attention to promote his new NFT, which I think just launched just a minute ago. But, you know, I don't know what you guys think about that. But I think the discussion about him, his role, his effectiveness in the paint, make for a good discussion. What did you guys think, honestly, about his comments the other day, about criticizing Vogel? I don't know if you guys agree with him. Does he have a point? I guess I didn't say it right. There's a fan who criticized him. He said, I wish you could only dominate the paint like hashtag Lopez, Brooke Lopez, and hashtag DeAndre Ayton, right? And Drummond responds, tell y'all coach, play me more, and I could. So anyway, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I love drama, by the way. I love like this whole basketball tweet, retweet, Instagram, whatever it is. Yeah, I love it. Got when they the start drama. Sparking things up like this. I honestly don't mind the shot at Vogel. I think one of the biggest criticism that most people probably can agree with me is that his rotations are, it needs some improvement as far as for our lineup, right? Especially if we're going to draft someone like Drummond. But at the same time, when you have Drummond with Davis and then you got LeBron, you got some big bodies clogging up the lane there. And so I'm not going to jump into too much of that right now, but as far as for the call out, I think it's acceptable. And then as far as for him promoting his NFT, I don't know how I feel about that. If that's really the case, then what the heck is going on?
Is that a cap?
That's cap.
Does he really want the coach to play him more? If that's the case, I mean, during the playoffs, he played 20 plus minutes most games, right? Had some good games, had some bad games. And so,
yeah,
I think honestly, I'm not going to be too critical of Drummond just because he came in midseason and he also had to adjust quite a bit. I don't know how much his role really had to change. Maybe just, offensively, maybe it changed a little bit, but defensively, I think I at least expected a bit more out of him defensively. Those are really my initial thoughts, John Webb and Yo, at this. Like, I love the drama, but I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah, here's what I don't understand. He says he's playing around, but we honestly just said, like, pretty much like collectively, right? Like, Lakers fans are not playing around. And I kind of saw this at the end of it, right? All I saw was the I got you, bro, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar part, and I didn't see the criticizing part first. And my first thought process, right, was I hope what he's saying is he's working out with Kareem, much like Bynum did, 2009, 2010, our championship years. Or maybe he's going for that, you know, Lou Alcindor to, you know, the Bucks to Kareem metamorphosis that happened there. Man, there's a lot to pick here, but I hope he's not saying, right, that he's at the same level as Kareem, because I put Kareem in the top three conversation.
Right, like, yeah, he's up there, right?
Yeah, he's one of the greatest there of all time. From the moment Lou Alcindor, you know, then Kareem, right, stepped into the court, he's been a problem. High school with three straight championship, 71-game winning streak, only lost twice. He pretty much did the same thing at UCLA with three straight championship. They outlawed dunking because of him. Don't forget about Kareem when we talk about GOATs. Pretty much the same thing when he went to the NBA, right? Six-time MVP, six-time champion, rookie of the year, like accolades upon accolades. I hope he's not comparing himself to that. But there's a lot of truth to what Dre Drum is saying with playing time, with playing him more. But I think it wouldn't have really mattered in the grand scheme of things with the season the Lakers had. I've said it before, Andre Drummond would fit well, almost seamlessly, with LeBron and AD given one thing, and that's collective time on the court. It's something we've talked about all season. The injuries have affected that because it doesn't allow the players to learn each other's habits, especially for the postseason when overall the game slows down, but the individual actions are faster, more instinctive, more visceral even. It's that familiarity often smokescreen into that overall term of like chemistry. But it's what Andre, AD, and LeBron needed, that time on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that, and I can agree with to an extent his call out to Coach Frank Vogel. I can understand from his perspective, because in the biggest game, right, in the Sun series, down 2-3 against the Suns, Vogel benched him and started Gasol instead. So you know, I get it. You want those minutes, right? And who knows, maybe it probably wouldn't have made a difference at all, honestly, because the Suns were just rolling. AD was limping, right? He wasn't really out there. And LeBron was 80%. He's not feeling himself at all. But who knows? But let me ask you guys this though. He wants big money. He doesn't want to just take the vet minimum. We don't have a lot of money to go around. Do you guys think he's going to be a Laker next season?
Stop asking these hard questions. Because I hope he takes the vet minimum, because then I agree with John Webb here, because it's really just time that we had on court that really bit us in the butt here with Drummond. Because if we keep him during the offseason, start the season with him and have these AD, Drummond, and LeBron starting, I feel like a lot of our issues, they'll figure out how to not clog up the lane, give some penetration in there a little bit, mm-hmm. and maybe a little bit of triangle offense in there. And I think that can help out, just figure out the timings, figuring out the lineup. I think that the time and that's the gameplay is really what's going to help here. If he sticks around, I would love that, but I don't think he's going to stick around just because he's not going to accept the vet minimum. My thing here is that I was going to bring this up earlier. I was hesitant to bring this up. He's also getting old, right? Father time sometimes gets the best of everyone. So for us, we'd be taking a risk there. So I hope he sticks around. I don't think he will.
Man. Yeah, if he's wanting a lot of money, we're not going to be able to retain him. But, you know, Joseph said that he'd love having Drummond here. I would love having Drummond here. The fans would actually love having Drummond here. But even more so, Drummond would love to be here. And that's because when things get rolling and these guys are actually playing together on the court, he's going to get a lot of open looks. He's going to get a lot of those lobs that we've been wanting. And you guys forget, but he started his first game, he got injured,
right? Yeah. And that was a fail of a,
that was it.
Of a debut.
That was it the rest of the season. And, you know, it's something that really did us in last year. Well, really this year.
Yep.
Right. The injuries mm-hmm. and the inconsistency, which really through the lineups and the rotations into chaos. I would love to have Drummond return and get that consistent time on the court together.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll have to see, because there's a lot of pieces moving around, right? And that's we have some one of the problems that we had was we had very versatile centers, right? We had Gasol, who can space the four, pick and pop kind of action on the offensive end, but he was too slow on the defensive end. He could be a big body against big guys, but once they switched on him with a guard, he was toast. And and then we had Harrell, right? Trez, very provided that energy, that strength, but too small for the big guys, right? And then Drummond, who's just inconsistent because of his time, because of how he was brought in, right? And it was just too fast and not enough practices, not enough reps, like Joseph and you got and John Webb you were saying. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. Because there's Gasol is going to be back. He has one more year with us. Harrell, I don't know. There's, you know, he made some comments and kind of looked like he took a jab at the Lakers when he made an Instagram post recently. I don't know if he's going to be back. And I don't know, when I think about the success the Lakers had when we won the championship, right? We had centers who were lob threats, who were rim protectors. I don't see Drummond as a lob threat anymore. You see him play, he can't get above the rim as easily. That comes with age, that comes also because of his injury from so I don't know. There we might be able to, if he wants, if he demands more money, we could get someone at a vet minimum with a similar build, right? He won't be Andre Drummond, the rebounding machine, but he could be someone who would be a rim protector, someone who could be a lob threat, someone that would check all the boxes.
You know who comes to mind, Yoa?
Who? Damian Jones?
No, McGee. Give me back McGee.
Dude, I want McGee back too, honestly. He was so fun to have.
Yeah, energy, and you're talking about the defensive end and the offensive end versatility. He was definitely still a lob threat, I think, when he was with us, and we saw a lot of that. But yeah, I think to kind of couple that, maybe it is father time catching up to Drummond, right? It's a lot of speculation, at least on my end, because I just did not see him play enough. And then minutes were low at the same time. And so, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag for me, because I honestly love the way Harrell played, but I did not like how our lineup, or really on the offensive end, I did not like how it looked like when Gasol was on. I think when we have too many passers, I guess, when we have, like, even if LeBron's on the floor with him, there's not enough threat down low, even just somebody to post up, maybe a little bit of ISO down there. It's not enough when Gasol is on there as our center. But if it's Harrell or Drummond, I can trust that. Even though Harrell might not be as tall as the other centers or big, I feel like he can still be a pretty big bully down in the five or four position.
Yeah, if you're trying to replicate what Drummond is right now with, in terms of, like, you know, high energy, rebounding, blocking, it's going to be hard to find. But if he's asking for, you know, 15, 16 million, you know, why not just go out and get Jared Allen instead? You know what I mean? Like, get the number one big out there for that mad money. But if you're trying to replicate that, you know, some names that come to mind, you know, Ken Birch from Toronto, Nerlens Noel from the Knicks, you know, Robin Lopez even. You know, there's a lot of centers, maybe top four sort of centers that come into mind. But if you're trying to do something like we had last year, which is a bunch of different types, you know, Frank Kaminsky, Alex Len, Hernan Gomez, DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent. Just all those, even you know, man, San Antonio Spurs, Dieng, you know, floor spacing big men that could, you know, that could bring a different dimension to us. But if we're going to keep, you know, if we're going to have LeBron and AD, if we're going to keep that core, why, you know, go away from what worked with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee? They're both free agents again. So right. We'll see.
Bring him back.
Yeah, Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, there's a lot of name. Maybe even Hassan Whiteside, who's been a name that's been associated with the Lakers.
Heck, we can even draft someone who might be good enough. but obviously, you know, it'll be a project. Okay, I think that does it for today, guys. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews that'll help us continue to produce this show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day, root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you next time.
In the Admiral refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights out, butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
Hey guys, let me tell you about these delicious protein bars. They're called Built Bars. Ever heard of them? The typical protein bar is dense, gritty, and difficult to chew. Not Built Bar though. The texture is light and fluffy, and it's covered in perfectly tempered, 100% pure dark chocolate. With each bite you take, you will think you are cheating on your diet, indulging on a chocolate dessert. We think you'll agree, there isn't a more delicious way to get your protein. Built Bar is the favorite protein bar of many fitness trainers and fitness enthusiasts alike. My personal favorite is the cookies and cream. It's like eating a candy bar. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to builtbar.com and use promo code LAKERPOD to get 10% off your order. That's promo code LAKERPOD to get 10% off your order at builtbar.com.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.